With spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Great. Happy Football Friday. This is Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid, getting you ready for the Fantasy Football Weekend, the first Fantasy Football Weekend of 2021. Great to be with you here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. Plenty of guests coming up a little bit later on the show. Howard Bender will join us, and he and I will go through the Westgate Super Contest, which begins this weekend. Jim Sannis will give some DFS advice. We'll talk, of course, a little underdog as well. And speaking of which, Davis, the underdog last night came through from a wagering perspective. I know that was not good enough for you, Davis, as the Cowboys really had a chance, I thought, to win that game outright yesterday. But kicking field goals at the end of the game in the NFL used to be a winning combination. It just is not anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the fourth down decision was pretty bad. I actually think Mike McCarthy made a lot of fourth down mistakes. It's kind of one of those things where if Kellen Moore was in charge of all those decisions, right? So Kellen Moore calls the plays. He's the offensive coordinator. He's the one who decides everything with Dak. But at the end of the day, Mike McCarthy's the one who says, all right, we're kicking. All right, we're going for it. All right, we're punting. And I think every major decision point that Mike McCarthy had on Thursday night, I think he did the wrong thing. I think he went to the kicking game too early. I also thought their strategy on that last drive was pretty interesting. They did a good job burning up the clock once they got to the 2-minute warning, but then once they got past the 2-minute warning, they slowed the clock down too much. And look, everyone watching that game, I knew, you knew, the betting markets knew, when the Cowboys kicked that field goal to go ahead, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were minus 130 on the money line. Everyone knew what was coming. Three quick passes, bada bing, bada boom, field goal goes in. Game is over. Everyone knew. Everyone in the stadium knew. The Cowboys knew. I thought it was pretty cowardly to kick that field goal, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, look, some coaches coach differently, and certainly McCarthy, long history of Green Bay, playing it close to the vest. Kind of knew how that was going to end yesterday. I agree with you. All right. So let's take a look at our headlines here as we begin the show. In addition to the NFL game last night, we do have NFL news today, as both Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters hurt yesterday, going to be out for the season. We'll dive more into the running back position for sure for the Baltimore Ravens. Boy, very confusing there, although they did bring in Latavius Murray today. Buccaneers beat the Cowboys. We mentioned final drive of the game. Game goes over, and the Cowboys cover the spread. Two unseeded teenagers to meet in the U.S. Open women's final this weekend. Layla Fernandez has been an unbelievable story. And as a legit chance to win, I think, this thing. An 18-year-old and a 19-year-old facing off this weekend. And the Yankees falling to the Toronto Blue Jays. Jameson Taillon on the IL, and the Yankees are right back where they were in May again, Davis, and the Blue Jays are on their heels. And as Chris mentioned at the top of the hour, Chris Sale going on the injured list, the COVID injured list. I mean, the Blue Jays have a shot now, Davis. Like, they really do. We did the fantasy reality. I didn't think so. And I guess you got to be willing to change your opinion, but they have just as good a shot as Boston or New York to get in at this point after sweeping New York.
Yeah, although this is a huge injury for them, right? We were talking about this on the show last week, and I said, there's just something about having a guy who goes on the mound every 5 days and you feel like you're like 80% to win those games, right? Like Pete Kershaw, Peak Scherzer, Chris Sale this season. Like, I feel like for me, if I was a baseball player and, you know, I'm Enrique Hernandez and I'm going up to the plate and I'm like, you know what, we're just going to get it done today. Like, it's just positive energy. We're getting the win. And Chris Sale was so much better than every other pitcher they had going, right? Pitching has kind of been that team's Achilles heel, both in the starting rotation and the bullpen this season. So I feel like if Sale misses two starts, that might be enough. Those two starts, losing those two starts with, you know, a long man or someone they have to call up from AAA, that might be enough to give the Blue Jays that umph they need, because the Blue Jays are not dead yet.
No, they're right there for sure. They got an opportunity. They still play Boston again coming up here in a week. Jameson Crowder also on the COVID list for the New York Jets. He's going to miss this weekend's game. But Davis, I think that most people probably watching us wanting your opinion on how the Ravens running back situation is going to shake out. And we certainly don't know anybody who grabbed that kid Tyson Williams late in a draft or on the waiver wire has got to be happy. But I don't know that they're happy seeing three other guys coming in. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm actually in that position myself. I spent a lot of fab money on Tyson Wednesday night in the FFPC main event, $1,900 entry, $500,000 to first place. And I said, this is the guy. Tyson, because, and this was, again, this was before Gus Edwards got hurt. I spent all this money on him. And I said, you know, I think Tyson is more capable of playing like J.K. Dobbins than Gus Edwards is. Gus Edwards tears his knee. They bring in Latavius Murray, Donta Freeman, Le'Veon Bell. Now, I think probably Tyson is going to get the first crack on Monday night. But if he plays poorly on Monday night, right, if he averages 3.5 yards per carry, if he fumbles, you know, misses a pass block, anything like that, then I think Latavius Murray is basically the guy you want. And I really think it's that simple. If Tyson plays well, he's going to get the ball a lot. If Tyson plays poorly, they're going to open it up to start auditioning some of these guys they brought in.
Yeah, and I mean, Bell, everyone has seen. I thought Devonta Freeman was done also watching him play last year, but Murray is the one guy that was not cut based on ability, really. It was cut based on money. So I could definitely see him being in the mix, at least for goal line carries, even going into Monday night. So interesting notes with the Ravens for sure. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to dive into the fantasy standouts and the takeaways from opening night, a great game in the NFL between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Dallas Cowboys. So stick with us here on the show as we break that all down, the good, the bad, the ugly from that game as well, no doubt. Fantasy reality a little bit later in the show, Sports Grid 60. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on this Friday. We're just getting started, so stay on the grid. We'll be right back. Break.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, Davis is going to have a one-hour advantage on me for these late-night NFL games. Being in Central Time Zone, being in the East, keeps me up late for these games. And I was, you know, it's been a while since I stay up till about midnight watching games these days, but had to do it, of course, for last night, in and out of, like, consciousness, thinking, my gosh, this game is going right down to the wire. So it did. There are a lot of takeaways, a lot of reactions, probably a lot of overreactions after one night of the NFL. But let's get started and take a look at the fantasy standouts on the sides of Tampa Bay and Dallas, and then we'll talk about some of the things that did not go perhaps the way that we thought. Brady was awesome. What can you say? 32 of 50. He was really 32 of 47. He threw three balls away at the end of the game. 379 passing yards, four touchdowns. He did throw two picks. Antonio Brown was fantastic as well. Caught a long touchdown pass, 5 for 121, six rushing touchdowns. And scored on a long touchdown. Chris Godwin did fumble, but also had a monster receiving game. Like, Mike Evans was just not a factor in this. 9 for 105 and a score. And put the lights on for Gronk, and this is what he's going to do. 8 catches, 90 yards, 2 touchdowns. Davis, let's hit on Tampa Bay here. By the way, Gronk is one for me that I could see these numbers, 8, 90, and 2 touchdowns. It may take him 5 more weeks for me to get these numbers in the next 5 weeks. But you put that guy on a primetime game with Tom Brady leading the way, you just know he's going to get that guy the ball.
Yeah, I think that we probably just saw Rob Gronkowski's best game of the season. The other thing being, I don't think very many teams are going to give Tampa Bay a game like this. I mean, my biggest takeaway was that despite Mike McCarthy kind of fumbling all over himself, the Cowboys defense looked better than I thought. The Cowboys offensive line, even without Zach Martin, looked a lot better than I thought. Dak was only sacked one time in that game, and it was the fault, like, it wasn't the offensive line's fault. He ran right in to the offensive lineman. So I think one thing that we really have to take a grain with, specifically with the Buccaneers numbers, is we're going to be like, oh my God, Brady threw for 397 yards and the 4 touchdowns, and Antonio Brown looked amazing, and Godwin looked amazing, and the running backs looked bad. Like, we just need to remember the game that they just played in. The Saints aren't going to give them games like this. The Falcons aren't going to give them games like this. The Panthers aren't going to give them games like this. They are going to run more in those games, and Gronk is going to be doing a lot more blocking in those games. My biggest takeaway as it pertains to the Buccaneers, though, is I did a bad job valuing Antonio Brown this offseason. I should have been pumping him up. I should have been drafting him. And now Antonio Brown, the person, think he sucks, don't like him, not a fan. Antonio Brown, the fantasy football player, if you can separate those things, and some people don't like to do that, right? Some people like to draft players they like and you know, not draft players that they don't like, which I think is a fine way to play the game. But Antonio Brown is going to get a lot of targets, and he looks about as good as he did his last very good year in Pittsburgh. You know, it didn't really look that much different than his final year there in Pittsburgh. So that was big for me. And then as far as it goes on the backfield, I remember mentioning this to you on the show that I really liked Giovanni Bernard, that I thought he had the upside to, you know, play all these third downs and catch all these passes. And if something happened to one of the other running backs, he could play more on the early downs. That is not going to happen. Maybe it was the high ankle sprain that he was nursing coming into the game. Maybe that's your only out in this scenario. But I think that they're just going to play Fournette, they're going to play Giovanni Bernard, and they're just not going to throw the ball to their running backs that much. They're going to throw a lot in the red zone. So the guys you want on Tampa Bay are the pass catchers, and the running backs are just going to be fairly useless for fantasy.
I did not see Bernard until the fourth quarter in the last drive of the game. I mean, maybe I wasn't watching that closely. I didn't even see him in the game. Of course, Ronald Jones had a fumble. We did not see him again. So let's move on to, and Mike Evans, tough game too, for sure. But Brady finds a way to get everybody involved eventually. All right, let's go to Dallas here. And you couldn't have asked for more from Dak Prescott for over 400 yards and looked great pretty much all across the board. Amari Cooper also was fantastic. 13 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's one of those other guys that when he falls down, I wonder if he's going to get up. Hopefully he will. CeeDee Lamb, early struggles and then came on very strong in the end. And the Dallas defense came through. If you chose to make that an early pick for you in fantasy on Thursday night, I'm guessing most people, though, Davis did not. And certainly those were the highlights there. You know, I mean, this is kind of what we could be seeing all season long if Dallas chooses to do it. So let's hit on the good. And then obviously, with Dallas putting up that many points against Tampa Bay, you would have expected the running backs to be and Zeke to be heavily involved. And he just didn't look that great.
So you are pretty accurate as it pertains to the Cowboys. Now, you know, I mean, I think every single show I probably brought up how much I liked the Cowboys offense and fantasy. Everything that I thought was going to come true came true. Zeke looked bad. Pollard looked great. Lamb actually didn't have that strong of a game, but I think he saw 14 targets, all things said and done. Amari Cooper looked phenomenal. Gallup looked good in this game, and then he suffered the ankle injury. It sounds like it's a minor ankle sprain. Seems like he is going to be fine. Maybe we'll throw a couple fab dollars on Cedric Wilson when we do our waiver wire stuff on Monday and Tuesday. Dak, I think, I mean, you got to say that he looked 70% of himself physically. The ball didn't have a ton of zip. He looked slow, didn't he? Like he got outside of the pocket once and then just took the sack instead of trying to run for it. So I think that his fantasy numbers this year are going to be very reliant on his arm, at least until he starts to trust his body a little bit more. And then another one of the surprising, I guess one of the things I was surprised about was Dalton Schultz was clearly ahead of Blake Jarwin. I think Dalton Schultz was targeted 8 times in this game. They like ran a couple screens for him. So Dalton Schultz, you know, look, FFPC main event, tight end premium formats. I think we're going to be spending some waiver wire dollars on Dalton Schultz. But overall, the Cowboys offense basically looked as great as I expected it to look. I'm not worried about Gallup. I'm slightly worried about Ezekiel Elliott, not from the idea that that he's going to be awful for fantasy, but the fact that Dak threw 53 times in this game and Elliott was only targeted twice, I think that's going to show you right there his fantasy value. It's just going to be all touchdowns. Now, if he scores 15 touchdowns, he's going to be fine. But I don't think like a 70 catch season is coming for him.
Yeah, and it reminds me of, I mean, not completely, because I think that Zeke still has years left. But I always refer to Gurley in these situations because Gurley's fantasy numbers, I think it was either 2 years ago or last year. I mean, he was just falling into the end zone. So he ended up with like 10 touchdowns and 800 yards or whatever. And I think that's probably the floor for Zeke. And so those numbers will be masked a little bit at the end of the season. But I think a different conversation, Davis, will be had in 2022 with him where it's, I mean, that could, I mean, who knows? I mean, it could be the end for him at that point, but not going to overreact to 1 week. So those are the positives, except for Zeke being the negative. Ronald Jones, Mike Evans on the side of Tampa Bay. Those guys did not do much. Zuerlein missed a field goal or two. Was there any other, downgrades at all after watching the first week? Because I mean, both defenses played okay, but look, I mean, the game went way over. I mean, it was, 60 points scored in the game. So if guys aren't going to perform with that many points scored, you would wonder what happens when they don't.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only guys I'm actually worried about, I mean, maybe you could be worried about Evans, not because he wasn't targeted that much, but just that if Antonio Brown is actually going to be this good and earn that many targets, that's going to be a problem for him. Because Evans already slowed down in terms of efficiency last season, but he scored 13 touchdowns. If you move that to like 9 touchdowns for Mike Evans, then he becomes a much different fantasy player. Like he just is not really a guy. I mean, you're going to start him every single week, but he becomes more like a boom or bust guy. And then Elliott. I am, if I was drafting again today, I would just not take Elliott at his ADP. Like, I think he's more like a third round type pick than a first round type pick, just based off of that game.
Yeah, and look, long season to go, of course, reactions and projections moving forward. That's what we will do for you guys here on the show, no doubt. Speaking of the games coming up this weekend, lots of great week one NFL games. We've been touching on them all week long here on Sports Grid, on Fantasy Sports Today. And we're also going to give you a little bit of a peek behind the curtain for the great app called Underdog and give you a nice little promo code to get involved too. What is it? How does it work? Well, coming up next, Davis and I will give you a run through there. We'll also preview the game this weekend in New England between the Dolphins and Patriots. That's coming up as well. So stay on the grid. We'll be right back. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Outdoors, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome back, and give you some help here this weekend for those of you who, of course, wagering or playing DFS on FanDuel. Certainly, that's very cool. But let's show you another way that you can get involved this weekend and give you a really fine explanation and some potential picks here, which, is, of course, is the great new Underdog app, which you can download for iTunes, Google, Android, anywhere that you download apps, and use our promo code GRID, G-R-I-D, to get involved, get a nice little discount. And Davis, you know, certainly this is week one, and we're going to play a little pick'em here. So I would love you being the expert here, not me, that's for sure, as to kind of how this is going to work, a little bit more about the app, and certainly how people can potentially make some money this weekend using it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very simple. You create your account, you use the deposit promo grid, and you're actually going to get a free wager inside their pick'em game. It does not work like traditional betting. So effectively, they give you a menu for these upcoming games on Sunday, you know, about three or four guys from every single team, and they just give you totals, right? Could be fantasy points, could be rushing yards, could be, you know, over under 0.5 touchdowns, over under 49.5 rushing yards, et cetera, et cetera. And you effectively create a parlay. You have to make at least two selections, and the multipliers are 3x, 6x, 10x, and 20x. So if you want to string together five wagers, regardless of what the wagers are, you are going to make 20x your stake. So if you bet $5, you're going to get 20x your stake. I did a 3x one last night, cashed out. I had the over on CeeDee Lamb receiving yards, the over on Dak Prescott fantasy points, and the over on Amari Cooper receiving yards. Now, of course, one of the unspoken things here is you could obviously string together correlated results. You could take all the overs for the Buffalo Bills and then add in a Chase Claypool over, right? Because those are correlated. So there's a lot of interesting game theory here. And of course, Underdog is using this as a customer acquisition tool. And you know, what is, we talk about this all the time with the FanDuel Sportsbook. When sports books or sports apps are trying to acquire you as a customer, they make it a little bit easier for you to make money, right? And this is one of those examples. So I find this game to be pretty interesting. And I have actually put together a five bet parlay, our 20x multiplier here for us to walk through for this weekend on Underdog.
Okay. Well, I'll read it off and then I'll love your analysis on it. So this is essentially a five play pick 'em parlay, more or less, to get 20x. So you put in $10. I don't need to tell you what 10 times 20 is. If you don't know, you got to go back to school on that. That's some good money. Kyle Pitts is part of this week one pick'em, 44.5 receiving yards against the Philadelphia Eagles. Chase Claypool over 49.5 yards for Pittsburgh against the Buffalo Bills. Jamar Chase, interesting one here, 52.5 receiving yards for Cincinnati. Jonathan Taylor with not much other offense in Indianapolis, 79.5 rushing yards over there. Lots of overs here from Davis, except for the Teddy Bridgewater under 16.5 fantasy points. So I understand all of the yardage props, clearly. How does underdog determine fantasy points? Because let's start with that, with Bridgewater, because clearly that's the one that I'm going to need a little more details on.
So this scoring is going to be the same as FanDuel NFL DFS scoring. It's half point PPR, you know, no bonuses for 100 yards, no bonuses for 300 yards. It's 4 points for a passing touchdown, 6 points for a rushing touchdown. So it's harder for quarterbacks to get points in this scoring than it would be, you know, you and I are in the Razz Bowl together. We're in some of these leagues together. A lot of those leagues are 6 points for a passing touchdown, only 4 points for a passing touchdown, and again, only a half of a point for a reception instead of full PPR. So I think that our brains are maybe like a little bit broken from thinking about, you know, our 12-team home league scorings with the full point PPR and the 6 points for a passing touchdown. So intuitively, the fantasy point totals look a little bit low until you remember that it's purposely like kind of de-juiced a little bit. So working through these one by one, Kyle Pitts, I feel extremely confident in, and you might be saying, how could you be feeling that confident about a rookie tight end playing in his first ever game? Well, first off, the Eagles linebackers and safeties, I mean, Craig, what, they've been a problem for like 8 years at this point? Like, who is the last good Eagles safety or linebacker in coverage?
Ryan Dawkins.
It's just been, there you go. Literally, he was the last one. It's been a long time since he's been patrolling the secondary for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I think the Falcons are going to have to pass a ton. I don't expect them to be a very good rushing team. I have Kyle Pitts projected to receive about 20% of the targets from the Atlanta Falcons in week one. And that could be low. I could be wrong on that. I mean, he could see even more because they don't really have a third or fourth wide receiver to take those targets. I'm not a big Russell Gage guy, not a big Olamide Zaccheaus guy. So I feel like Pitts is a pretty strong value. And I think this is true for DFS as well. I think the Pitts is going to be a pretty good DFS play at tight end this week. The Chase Claypool thing, I just have him projected for more yards than this. I have him projected for about 61 receiving yards. And I think the discrepancy here is that the market kind of expects Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster to be the alphas for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And honestly, they might be. You know, Chase Claypool might only get 5 targets in this game. But I feel, one, that he is going to be the most efficient wide receiver on the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, he might only need 2 receptions to get there. But then the other part of this is that I think the Bills kind of blow the doors off the Steelers. I think they get up, you know, 10, 14 points pretty early on. And we're going to see a very pass-heavy attack, a lot of 3 wide receiver sets from the Steelers. So 49.5 just felt extremely low to me. Pretty similar for the Bengals as well. I know we were talking yesterday about how Ja'Marr Chase has the yips, right? He's talking about how much harder the ball is to catch. I got to say, mostly I just don't buy it. And one of the reasons I don't buy it is, who are the Bengals going to play if Ja'Marr Chase is having a bad game? If they decide like, oh, you know, we got it. Or are they going to put Auden Tate in? Are they going to play 2 tight end sets? Like, don't you just feel like even if Chase is maybe not quite ready for prime time, with how pass heavy the Bengals are, right? Like, you know, they're probably going to be the most pass heavy team in the NFL, or at least one of them, if not the most. Like, I just feel like he's locked into like 6 targets in this game.
Yeah. What I like about the offense and what I like about the fantasy potential, I have Higgins everywhere, is that I don't like them. Like, I don't like the Bengals, and I think that they're poorly coached, and I think that they're going to wipe out everybody again, probably after the year. And if that's the case, Davis, what happens? Ja'Marr Chase is the draft pick of the coach and the GM. So that guy is going to have to play and be on the field to save jobs, I think, honestly. I mean, I hate to say it, in Cincinnati. So the other thing that I like about this one in particular is that he's probably going to either go over or under this on one play. Like, it basically, I think Chase is going to have either a 40 or 50 yard catch, or he's going under this. I think that's, I can see 2-3. Like, he reminds me of Ruggs a little bit in year one, I guess. And then with Taylor Davis, I'm supposing, you know, I look at Indianapolis right now, and I know that you gave me some good names. I think I took Paris Campbell in the last draft that I was in, but my gosh, like, counting on Wentz and counting on Campbell and counting on Pascal, like, I mean, Taylor's, they may have to give Taylor 30 carries in this game, and he may only get 85 yards, but I would think that he is maybe going to get more volume than anyone outside of Henry going into this week.
That's basically the entire thesis behind the play, is I think that this team's whole identity is kind of wrapped up in handing the ball off to Jonathan Taylor. The Colts have probably the best offensive line in the NFL. It's hard to say those things definitively because offensive line performance year over year is not that sticky. Quentin Nelson wasn't practicing. We think he's going to be active for this game. But basically, I mean, we just do not think the Colts are going to come into this game and air the ball out, right? Like that's just not their game plan. They are not trying to put the entire game plan on Carson Wentz. They want to hand the ball off. They want to use Jonathan Taylor. They want to use Marlon Mack a little bit. They want to use Nyheim Hines. And sort of my thinking on rushing props is Jonathan Taylor gets 50 rushing yards here no matter what. I mean, they could lose this game by 10 points, and I still think he gets 50 rushing yards no matter what. So all he really needs to get to that length is, you know, for 79 and a half is, one, he's just got to break off like one 30-yarder. Like if he, you know, gets through the second level, bowls over the safety, rumbles down the field for 30 yards, you're like, okay, you're already counting your money. You're like, all right, he's getting over that. And then you also have like, okay, well, what if they win this game? I mean, they're only 2.5-point home underdogs. Like, the Seahawks are good, but they're not, they're not like the Super Bowl favorites or anything. They can lose this game to the Colts, especially if they get a little bit of bad fumble luck or whatever. So 79.5 from Jonathan Taylor just felt very safe.
Now, in terms of the promo code here, Davis, it's if I'm not mistaken, it's GRID, GRID, and that gets you in and gets you registered and also gets you these you know, double up basically bonuses, correct?
Yes. So you there are also, if you guys want the specific link that we use, you can find that on dailyroto.com or sportsgrid.com. You can find it on my Twitter. You can DM me. I will make sure to get in there. But then even if you don't, just go to your phone, Underdog Fantasy, download it in the App Store, wherever, you know, whatever mobile platform you have. Download it. Click the green little deposit button. Use the deposit code GRID, GRID. And you'll find yourself a nice little gift from us and our friends over at Underdog Fantasy.
All right, awesome. Check it out this weekend. See if you can get in on some of those. If you miss any part of discussing some of these picks, just go on YouTube, catch our show. We're constantly posting all of our videos and information of things that we do here on the show. All right, coming up next, we go back against the spread. Two games this week that we're going to talk about. We've talked about a lot of them, but today we're going back to finalize our information on Miami and New England and Green Bay in New Orleans, or against New Orleans, the game's in Jacksonville. So we'll break those games down next and hear from the head coach of the Dolphins. Don't go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Doers, mowing season is here with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329, during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. It's our Football Friday, which means that all of our hosts here on Sports Grid are talking about the games this weekend. If you miss any of it, just go to our social media channels, at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV, whether it is the early line morning after our show here, Fantasy Sports Today, Scott Farrell, Gabe Morenci, Cam Stewart, all of our great hosts here on Sports Grid are talking about the games, giving you previews, insight, information. And you'll see a lot of Dave Sharapen on there, that's for sure. So make sure you download us on Twitter and check out our Twitter handle. And certainly that's a great way to engage with us. Tell us what you're thinking about our programming and our picks and our information. So go ahead and do it now. Okay, let's get back to the games this weekend here on Sunday and on demand on our new YouTube channel. You can catch all of our picks and predictions for the weekend. The Miami Dolphins will fly out to New England, Davis, tomorrow to take on the Patriots, and this could be a very interesting battle. At least the spread tells you the game is a pick 'em, because more or less you get your, as the home team, going to be laying 2.5, sometimes 3 points. New England is -3 at home, and on the money line they're -178. You can bet $100 if you think the Dolphins are going to win on FanDuel, and you get back $150. And the total is 43 in the game, 43.5, excuse me, -110. And certainly Tua Tagovailoa is going to be a big focus in this game, as will Mac Jones. But Tua did speak to the media earlier this week and was asked about the staunch Patriots defense.
I mean, they're a tough defense. You know, I think you look at the resume of Coach Belichick. I mean, really, really good defenses. And... you know, this is like no other week. You know, we take all these games serious. And, you know, for me, I think it's really just getting the ball out quick and letting our playmakers make plays for us.
And, of course, Brian Flores named Tua the starting quarterback, did not name him the team captain. So, of course, everybody in South Florida is freaking out, asking why that didn't happen. Now, on the other side of the ball, of course, for New England, Davis, we have starting quarterback Mac Jones. And so Brian Flores was asked specifically if they're going to be game planning and doing things a little bit differently to confuse the young rookie in his NFL debut.
We're always trying to, you know, disguise and create a situation where it's, you know, not easy for the quarterback. I mean, I like to think that. So, you know, I think that's always part of the game plan. You know, that player has the ball in his hands on every snap. So if you can disrupt that player, then you have a good chance of creating disruptive plays. So I think we're always trying to, you know, have an effect on the quarterback. You know, rookie, you know, veteran, I think that's where, you know, starts, I would say, just at least from a pass game standpoint. But there's, you know, they got a very good run game. I think, you know, that's not, I think we're a little bit of, you know, Mac Jones. He's a good player. But they got a lot of good players on that offense and defense and kicking game. So I think for us, you know, we're playing the Patriots. They got a good offensive line. They got good tight ends. They got good receivers. And, you know, I think there's a lot to handle there. And if we just put our emphasis, an emphasis on affecting the quarterback, then they'll probably get us somewhere else. So, I mean, there's a lot here.
Well, no one really knows with Bill Belichick what the game plan would be. We're all under the assumption, Davis, that this weekend the Patriots are going to impose their will on defense and run Damian Harris and Stevenson and throw the ball out of the backfield to James White as much as possible to kind of ease Mac Jones in. If this wasn't Bill Belichick, I would say that's going to happen, but it is Belichick. So all of a sudden, if Mac Jones throws the first 15 times in this game, I got to be honest, I'm not going to be shocked, because he's done stuff like this in the past with Tom Brady. Of course, he is not Tom Brady. On the Dolphins side, Davis, look, you can say all the great things you want about Tua. We've been saying it out throughout camp, too, but now it counts, and it matters this week. So Miami getting 3 on the road at New England, and one of the lower totals, by the way, in the NFL on the board this week.
I mean, I wish that I had a strong and hard resolve on this game. Like, I wish I could tell you Tua's going to come out firing, you know, Jalen Waddle is going to blow up, Miles Gaskin is going to look great. Or I wish I could go the other way and say, I think Mac Jones is going to be phenomenal. Honestly, I think the most likely result here is that this is a very close game and the Patriots just try to run the air out of the ball. We're going to see lots of Damian Harris. We're going to see lots of Ramondre Stevenson. We might even see some J.J. Taylor. I think there's going to be a lot of short and intermediate throwing from both teams, honestly, because remember, Will Fuller is suspended for this game for the Miami Dolphins. Honestly, I actually think if Fuller was active for this game and the line was the same, I think Will Fuller is so good and has such an impact on the quarterbacks that he play with that I would want to take the Dolphins. I don't have an opinion on the total. Honestly, would probably lean under because I just see so many potential rushing attempts coming in this game. You know, Bill Belichick tends to do very well against young quarterbacks, right? Guys who are going to, you know, have a little bit more trouble reading the game, guys who are not going to be able to sense what the defense is doing before the play is snapped and changing those plays. So probably I think this is the right line. I think the Patriots should be favored by 3 points. You know, I think all of that is relatively fair. I guess my like this game is just a no bet for me because my worry would just be, the Patriots are actually too conservative here, and Brian Flores has proven himself to actually be very aggressive, you know, kind of makes the better decisions on fourth downs, you know, pushes the ball down the field a little bit more. Like, and I mean, how aggressive of a decision was it to go to Tua from Fitzpatrick in the first place when they were in the playoff hunt? And I think Belichick has gotten a little bit more conservative over the last few years, especially after Tom Brady left town. So it's just hard for me to come up with a wager for this game.
Yeah, what's interesting is similarly, I think a little bit, not the same, to Houston. I think, Davis, this would be the final time Miami would be getting points like this if they went into New England and thumped them. Like, I think, because you know, no one really knows what Miami is. And so I think we kind of know who New England is, about a 500 team. But if the Dolphins were to win, you could see them being a favorite in a lot of games moving forward. This is a big test for them for sure. Okay, well, unfortunately for the Saints, they had to move the game away from the Dome due to the hurricane remnants from a couple of weeks ago. Hopefully they'll get back in New Orleans later this month or in October. They're going to play this game in Jacksonville, Florida, which is a ways up the road from me, but very good environment nonetheless for football, and I'm guessing a lot of Saints fans will travel to this game, but the problem is the Packers fans travel like no other. Saints are getting 3.5 points here. Probably most people estimated, Davis, that Green Bay would have been -1 had this game been in New Orleans, maybe -1. But now, obviously with no home field and playing outside, they're getting 3.5. Money line is pretty much prohibitive on Green Bay, -184. Not going to do that unless you parlay somehow. And the Saints are +154. The total is 49.5 in this game. And so, Davis, it's our first look at the Saints without Drew Brees for the first time in a decade. Could be the last opening game of the season for Aaron Rodgers with the Green Bay Packers. So this is probably a fun game to watch. Do you have an opinion on this one going into Sunday?
Yeah, I do. The Packers are going to win this game, and I think they are going to get to play some bully ball against the Saints. You know, the Saints don't have Michael Thomas in this game. They're going to be playing Jameis Winston at quarterback, and the Packers are, you know, back-to-back making the NFC Conference Championship game and looking. Last year, they looked amazing while they did it. The 2019 team was one of the biggest paper tiger teams in NFL history, and I think that was borne out in the NFC Conference Championship. The thing is, the Packers just have a huge advantage here because of the continuity. Same head coach, same quarterback, same running back, same wide receivers. The defense is roughly the same. You know, they are going to add A.J. Dillon in as their second running back now instead of Jamal Williams. That seems like a huge upgrade. The Saints are the exact opposite, right? New quarterback, new wide receiver one, new backup running back, new tight end, new wide receiver two, and the list goes on and on and on. They are a completely different team than the last Saints team that we saw take the field. And continuity tends to be a huge benefit in the NFL. We see this all the time. Head coach quarterback pairings that carry over year beat their win totals and beat their expectation all the time. Whereas change tends to be bad for NFL franchises. And also, this is, you know, it's fake home field, right? There really is no home field here. You could maybe even argue that the Packers have a little bit more of the advantage because of how well Packers fans travel. And also, they're just a very public team, right? There are Packers fans in every NFL city in the United States. So you just are going to see a lot of them. I think the Packers are the clear bet here. I feel pretty good about that one.
Yeah, I mean, they expect 20,000 Packers fans at the least to be in Jacksonville, you know, this weekend for sure. To the Saints here, just for a minute, and trying not to overreact, but is it fair to say, Davis, in this game with Winston, who I know that you've been bullish on and you know, going to be okay, is it fair to say that we will know who he is for the season in this game, after this game? And I think maybe compounding that, is it fair to say that if Winston shows in game one what he was in the past, that we can throw any good bid feelings out that we've had over the last year? Because I think for me, this is kind of this is going to tell me. If he has one good game, yeah, sure, he could probably, you know, go back into a pumpkin in week six. But Davis, I just cannot be convinced if he has a very bad game and looks like the old Winston that I would be willing to go to him this year.
I mean, Jameis is just a good NFL quarterback. He comes with a lot of problems because of the turnovers. But Jameis Winston for his career averages 7.7 yards per attempt. So compare that to someone like Phillip Rivers, right? We all think that Phillip Rivers is going to make the Hall of Fame, great quarterback, won all those years for the Chargers, 7.8 yards per attempt. Compare that to someone like Drew Brees, right? Compare him to the quarterback that he is replacing, 7.6 yards per attempt for his career. Now, you know, you start to factor in the turnovers, you start to factor in some of the decision-making, and then, you know, it becomes obvious why Jameis had to, you know, didn't get extended, didn't get the second contract from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, why he had to sit behind Drew Brees and Taysom Hill for a year. It's much easier to teach a quarterback how to fit in the structure of an offense than it is to teach a quarterback to be good. You cannot teach arm talent, right? That's a concern that Tua has, right? Tua is an incredible decision maker. He does not have the arm strength. He does not have the arm velocity. This is the Josh Allen thing. Josh Allen wasn't even a good quarterback in college. In fact, he was a below average quarterback in college, but the Bills saw the clay of what to turn him into. So I remain relatively bullish on Jameis relative to what the market expects from him, but I'm not taking the Saints in this game. I do think what we'll see, I think the Saints are just going to beat up on bad teams, right? I think when the Saints play, you know, the Panthers and the Jets and stuff like that, I think they're just going to clobber those teams. I do think they'll struggle against, you know, top five, top 10 NFL teams, though.
All right. So that's our look at Miami and New England, Green Bay and New Orleans. Howard Bender will be along in about 30 minutes from now. And he and I will go through the Westgate Super Contest plays as that contest is officially underway this weekend with a lot of money at stake at the end of the line. Five picks against the spread. We'll go through the entire card, tell you what we may be thinking for this week. Got to submit those picks by tomorrow for Sunday. Okay, we'll come back and wrap up this first hour of the show. We got Chris's update coming up at the top of the hour. We have headlines as well. Jim Sannis will be with us, give you some DFS tips also going into the weekend. So make sure you stay with us and stay on the grid all weekend long. And also, don't forget, we're back with you Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, for Fantasy Sports Today. Stay on the grid. We'll be right back. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish and Davis Matt. A couple of quick news and notes to bring along to you. Davis, Curtis Samuel placed on injured reserve by the Washington football team. So Diami Brown could be the main name we're talking about here on Monday on FST. You don't know, but he'll get his first opportunity to play for sure. Kevin Stefanski, Davis, would not confirm Odell Beckham playing with the knee injury that he had going into week one, which is surprising. I thought that he was good to go, no doubt. And looks like Le'Veon Bell, according to John Harbaugh, inactive most likely on Monday night. So Tyson Williams is going to get his chance, right? Like, that's all you can ask in fantasy. I took the guy late. I got him off the waiver wire. He gets his shot. The process was correct. We'll find out if the result was.
Yeah, we will definitely find out one way or the other. I mean, I am hoping, right, for if Tyson Williams ends up being Mark Ingram in 2019, I mean, that's obviously about as good as it could possibly be. Mark Ingram scored 15 touchdowns that season. I don't think Tyson's going to score 15 touchdowns. Honestly, if he can even be what J.K. Dobbins was last year or what Gus Edwards was last year, going to be a massive win for yours truly. That's going to end up paying off big dividends, because I probably spent more fab money on Tyson Williams Wednesday night than I ever have cumulatively spent on any other player in my whole time playing fantasy football.
Oh, I'm rooting for you too. In the Phillies draft on Monday night, Tyson Williams was available. I think we were in the 13th round, and I said to my partner, look, I don't really know a lot about this guy, but this is the kind of thing that wins you leagues sometimes. So we can take somebody that we know, or we can just take this guy and we may have to cut him after week one. And we pulled that trigger. So we're not going to play him, I don't think, this week. But having Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb being up 55 points after last night, we can afford to not do that. But plenty more to come as we continue on. Headlines coming up at the top of the hour. We got Chris Koski with the update, giving you everything going on in the NFL and, of course, Major League Baseball. So stay with us on the grid as we got hour number two on deck. Don't go away.
Doers, mowing season is here with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.